Bible reading this morning is in Acts 26 chapter. Acts chapter 26, verses 16 through 20. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to take thee, minister, and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. That's Acts chapter 26, verses 16 through 20.
I want to thank David for the reading of that scripture. Want to welcome everyone here this morning to our services at Fifth Street East. I want to assure you that it's our aim and our goal to teach and practice only that which you find in the New Testament, that we don't want to add to or subtract from the Word of God. So this morning we're going to study a little bit about the Lord's invitation. A few weeks ago on one Wednesday evening, I delivered a short version of this, and I told Mickey that I decided that I wanted to preach on a full version of that short invitation on Wednesday night. If you're here and you haven't yet responded to the invitation of Christ, we want to encourage you to do that. You're going to have that opportunity in a few moments. And if you're here and you're not sure what the invitation of Christ is, well, we want to make it clear to you that so that you know what the invitation of Christ is, that the invitation is a call to be saved and a call to sanctification, a call to holy living. Maybe you know what the invitation of the Lord is, but you just haven't responded. We want to encourage you to use this opportunity to listen to this lesson, to think about where you stand. And for you, too, to respond to the invitation. Because again, as I said, you'll have that opportunity in a few moments. And for those of us who have responded to the invitation, this may, in some way, sound like a lesson in first principle. But let's remember that, as we discussed in the adult class this morning, that we need to study. We need to equip ourselves to be ready to give an answer for the hope that's in each one of us. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. We want to be well-grounded in the fundamentals. Now, I have some examples up here of the Lord's invitation. In particular, that the Lord's invitation, we'll notice, was central to gospel preaching. That when the gospel was taken to the lost, the emphasis was to respond, to use their free will. Having faith from hearing the Word of God and responding to receive salvation. Let's turn to Acts 2, and in particular, verses 37 through 40. Here we see that in Peter's sermon on this day of Pentecost, that the central message to these lost Jews here was to repent and to be baptized. Jesus had been sent to them. They had killed Jesus. And here Peter tells them what they need to do. I mean, could you imagine if Peter here didn't tell them what they needed to do? After he had told them who Jesus is, what Jesus had done, where Jesus is, and then he didn't tell them what they needed to do, especially after what he had said to them that had caused them to be pricked in their hearts, and they asked men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, we would think that was incredible. That after all that, he wouldn't tell them what they need to do. Now in Acts chapter 3, I got ahead of myself. In Acts chapter 3, I'll have to go back just once. And there we are. To get back on track here. Okay, we have Peter in this story in Acts chapter 3. The lame man has just been healed. And he's at Solomon's porch. And the healing of this lame man creates an occasion, creates an opportunity for him to preach to some lost Jews. And what does he say to them? He tells them that they denied Christ, that they killed Christ. And then he tells them to repent and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out. Peter tells them they needed to repent and to be baptized. Here again, the Lord's invitation, central to gospel preaching. Acts chapter 8, the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip preached Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch. I know a lot of times we study the scripture when we're studying the subject of authority. But let's notice here that as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "Behold, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" Well, how did the eunuch know about the importance of water? How did he know that he needed to be baptized? It's obvious that when Philip preached Jesus to him, he preached this need that the eunuch had. Now in Acts chapter 10, story of Cornelius and his household. In verse 48, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." So, in this story, where Peter comes to understand that the Gentiles are to be accepted, that the Gentiles are to be brought in, he commands these Gentiles to be baptized. Because didn't Cornelius make the statement that they were all there to hear what was commanded of them by God? And notice, Peter commanded them to be baptized just like he commanded the Jews in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 3 to be baptized. Now, Acts chapter 16, the story of the Philippian jailer. Starting in verse 30, and brought them out and said, Sirs, the Philippian jailer says, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. And we see that they were taken that same hour of the night, and the Philippian jailer was baptized. So, Philippian jailer was told what his need was. He was told that he needed to be saved. Acts chapter 18, where Paul is in Corinth. In verse 8, and Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Well, what did they hear? Obviously, they heard about Jesus. They believed. They believed that Jesus is the Son of God. They were baptized. They heard about that need. Now I can go on to the next slide. Now, we can even see this invitation embedded in what Jesus had to say in John 5, 24 and 25, and John 6, 45, and in the 10th chapter of Romans. In John 5, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life, unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So, what do we see in these verses? We see that in order to have everlasting life, you have to believe. But in order to believe, you have to hear. The invitation must be preached. Again, as we've seen in examples in the New Testament, the invitation of the gospel is central to the preaching of the gospel. And the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So Jesus is saying those who are dead, those who are spiritually dead, have the ability to hear, to learn, to comprehend, and to respond. And in John 6:45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So how can you come unto the Father? How can you learn if you don't hear? And Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So, we see we cannot respond to the gospel if we don't hear, if we don't hear the invitation. Hearing the invitation is fundamental to obeying. We can't, if we haven't heard, we can't believe, and therefore we can't call on Him. Now, we have a number of men here in this congregation who teach and who preach, and I want to encourage all of us at every time to offer an invitation. There's a gospel preacher that I have a lot of respect for, whom I have heard talk about congregations who, at a service, don't offer an invitation. Even have a whole gospel meeting for a whole week long, and not even offer the invitation. You never know who's going to respond to the invitation. You never know who's going to hear a message for their heart. You never know when the Word of God is going to produce faith in that heart. And we're not talking about just the pulpit either. We're talking about we're talking about Bible studies. We have Bible study here on Wednesday night, and then we offer an invitation. We're talking about gaining a soul for Christ. And when we offer an invitation, there's nothing wrong with saying, if you have a need, come forward and let it be known. There's nothing wrong with that. But let's make sure when we say that, that they know what their need is. That they know that they're outside of Christ. That they're lost in sin. That they need Jesus, that Jesus is their Savior. That they need to turn from being spiritually dead to become spiritually alive, to gain heaven. And that they're being called to holy living, to sanctification. And sometimes we say, if we can help you in any way, come forward. Again, there's nothing wrong with saying that. But we need to know, we need to tell them how we can help. We can hear your confession. We can listen to you acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. We can assist you in baptism. Now, let's look at another aspect of the Lord's invitation. And for that matter, about gospel preaching. Because, really, in the scripture reading we had, that verse 18 of chapter 26, when we think about it, That verse not only outlines the content of an invitation, of the invitation, but it outlines the content of gospel preaching. See, the invitation is about a call to obey. And why is there a call to obey? It's about urgency, as we mentioned in the adult class this morning. See, urgency is based on the fact that we could cite Matthew 7 and 21, that heaven is to be gained. Romans 6, 23, that hell is to be escaped. Matthew 24 and 36, no one except the Father knows when Jesus is returning again. And as James wrote in the fourth chapter, starting about verse 13, about the uncertainty of life. There's an urgency to the invitation. And it needs to be done with clarity. Those hearing the invitation need to know what their state is. Like Paul wrote to the Ephesians in the second chapter, that they were dead. They were spiritually dead. They were without God. They had no access to God. And that the way that they are living, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That their life is earning them death. So we need to be clear about the invitation. And brethren, gospel preaching that doesn't include an invitation and doesn't include talking about the urgency of the invitation, doesn't include clarity about the invitation, that's not gospel preaching. Now, in the scripture reading, we read where Jesus, Paul is before Agrippa, and Paul is recounting all of this story to Agrippa, and telling Agrippa how Jesus said that He was going to send him, Paul, to the Gentiles. He was going to send him to preach to the Gentiles. And we're going to see that this invitation, this preaching to the Gentiles to open their eyes, really, it's a call to know the truth. A call to know the truth. That's one thing that the invitation is about. By preaching the gospel, eyes are opened to know the truth about their state, like the Ephesians were, spiritually dead. Preaching today needs to open the eyes to communicate what kind of state people are in outside of Christ. Now in John 8:31 and 32, Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So you can be free from sin, but you have to know the truth to be free from sin, and you can't know the truth unless you hear the Lord's invitation. So you might consider, where are you this morning? Where do you stand? Have you responded to the Lord's invitation? If you know what the Lord's invitation is, then why hesitate? I think I'll cover Ephesians chapter 4 a little bit more in depth on my next chart, but when you consider where I'm at, where you are at this morning, do you know that the gospel changes lives, that it changes the way you think, that it converts you? And that if you hesitate, that that's only a temptation by Satan to delay, to put off, so that you won't respond to the invitation? There's urgency, because now, as in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the day of salvation. Or you might say, what do I have to know in order to respond to the invitation, to obey the gospel? You need to know that the wages of sin are death, Romans 6:23. You need to know that outside of Christ you're spiritually dead. You need to know that you're lost in your sins. You need to know that Jesus is your Redeemer, the one who paid the price. You need to know about the future, that when you die, you're not just going to go out of existence. You need to know what is to be gained. Heaven is to be gained. So the invitation of the gospel, the invitation of the Lord, is to open eyes, the eyes of the mind, to the truth. Now, another aspect of the Lord's invitation of gospel preaching is to enable people to turn. As the 18th verse says, that they may turn. So this is a call to conversion, to turn from darkness to light. And I think a verse that perhaps best explains what is being said here is Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 19, or 17 through 20. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. What is Paul writing to the Ephesians here, but you have not so learned Christ? He's saying, you are not baptized to continue walking in your former way of life. When you were baptized, you were called to sanctification, to a holy calling. Gospel preaching turns you from darkness to light. You walk in the light. You've been called out of darkness. 1 Peter 2 and 9. And likewise from the power of Satan to God. And I'm trying to make up some time here. I can see the clock. But from the power of Satan to God. Well, what is the power of Satan? Well, I would suggest to you that, that the power of Satan is found in Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin are death. You might say, well, Terry, isn't really the power of Satan, isn't that really, and the power of death, isn't that really the fear of unknown? But no, that's not what Romans 6:23 is talking about. See, sin gives fear to death. You see, if you deal with the sin, you deal with the sin, then you don't fear dying. So you're no, when you respond to the gospel, you're no longer what? You're no longer in the bondage of sin. You're no longer under the power of Satan. You no longer have to fear death. You can turn from that power of Satan. You can turn to God. So this is what the invitation is about. This is what's included in gospel preaching. And now we see, to receive forgiveness, we see the reason and the result for the invitation. To receive forgiveness. And we need to teach specifically about how to receive this salvation that we must hear. John 6:44 and 45. That we have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Otherwise, we'll die in our sins. And we're not saved at this point of belief. Even the demons believe, and they're not saved. And we see in John 12, we see the example where there were some who believed, but they would not what? They would not confess. We have to confess. We have to acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. 10th chapter of Romans that we looked at a few moments ago. And we have to be baptized for the remission of sins. To cleanse our sins, to wash our sins away by contacting the blood of Christ and through baptism. And to live faithfully, a call to sanctification. See, again, the invitation of the Lord isn't just a call to be saved, It's a call to sanctification, a call to holy living as well. And now, in verse 18, what do we see? We see an inheritance. We see the motive to respond. Why respond to the invitation? Because we need to hear about the future. Because we aren't going to be like the old expression about Rover. When we die, we're not going to go out of existence. You know, the Bible teaches us that we don't go out of existence when we die. It teaches us, in fact, that we have appointments that we're all going to keep. And there's not going to be any option about keeping the appointment. You're not going to be late for the appointment. One appointment, of course, that maybe you're thinking about right now is in the 9th chapter of Hebrews. And we all have an appointment with physical death. For it is appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. So we have an appointment with death. But after death, in John 5 and 28 and 29, we have an appointment with the resurrection. Both the good and the bad. Everyone has an appointment with the resurrection. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, to give an account. To give an accounting for our lives. So we're going to keep that appointment with the resurrection. We're going to keep that appointment with giving an accounting. We're going to keep that appointment with the judgment. Revelation chapter 20. We're all going to stand before the throne when the books are opened. So you see, as part of the invitation, as part of preaching the gospel, we have to talk about this inheritance. We have to talk about the future. And the inheritance to be gained, as Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, 3, and 4. And, as I've mentioned several times, that the call of the gospel, the invitation is not simply a call, not just a call to be saved, but it's a call to sanctification. Once we're baptized, we have to continue in holy living, as some translations translate Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, I believe. Where Paul is before the Ephesian elders. The call to sanctification, the call of the gospel to bear fruit, to bear the fruit of the Spirit, as we studied in Galatians. To live sacrificially. To take the yoke of Christ, that's our responsibility after conversion, Matthew chapter 11. And in Luke chapter 9, Jesus taught a lesson about priorities. When we're called, but when we respond to the gospel, we are a new creature, we have a new life. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We have a new mission. We have new goals. We have a new hope. We have heaven to be gained. So, to sum up, the 18th verse of chapter 26 provides us with an outline of what the invitation of the gospel is about, what gospel preaching is about. That we need to preach that there is a problem, that man has a problem with sin, and that the solution is Christ, because he was the perfect sacrifice. He was the one who reconciled the justice of God with the mercy of God. Romans chapter 3. The perfect sacrifice who can redeem us from being lost in sin. And when we preach the truth, those who hear it, they have a responsibility. They have the responsibility to accept or to reject the gospel. They have a duty. And we need to talk about the future, the blessing to be gained, salvation, the hope of heaven. So with that, the lesson is yours. So, we don't want to close without offering the invitation. As a matter of fact, my entire lesson has been an invitation. So if you're outside of Christ, you need to respond to the invitation this morning. Before, as we talked about before, it is everlastingly too late. If you have responded to the invitation in the past, but you haven't been living as you should live, you haven't been living a holy calling, you haven't been living a sanctified, set apart life, sacrificial life for service in the kingdom, we'd invite you too to respond as we stand and sing the song which has been selected.